Hey everyone, this is Adam Ellenboss from Nightlight Astrology. Today we are going to continue our exploration of the upcoming Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in the sign of Taurus, which is happening on April 20th, by looking backward in time at a number of previous Jupiter-Uranus oppositions and conjunctions, and I'm going to give you some tips for tracking them biographically. The reason to do so is that if you go back and look at previous oppositions and conjunctions, get a feel for what they're like, and get a feel for the process involved with the way that those conjunctions and oppositions play out in your life, then you're going to have a more realistic way of relating to the upcoming conjunction, more realistic expectations, and a deeper felt sense of what these periods are like. I find this kind of exercise extremely useful. This is something I do all of the time when anticipating a transit. I look back at previous transits that were similar and remember what they felt like in my life, in my body, you know, in my mind, and in my relationships and so forth. So that's our agenda for today. I think you guys will really like this. It's really fun. When I did this exercise for myself today, I was like, wow, the Jupiter-Uranus, such a powerful dynamic. And I think you guys will find the same thing. Anyway, before we get into it, don't forget to like and subscribe. Share your comments and reflections. It is always really nice to hear from you guys. You can find a transcript of any of my daily talks on the website, nightlightastrology.com. Couple of promotions. One is Ashley's Herbal Apprenticeship Program starts very soon now. The Herbal Foundations Apprenticeship you can learn more about at skyhouseherbs.com. The apprenticeship starts April 24th. It's not too late to register. Everything is housed on a class website, so you can follow along at your own pace. There are breakout study sessions that Ashley leads in between units that are recorded. So it's a pretty, it's a course that's very easy for you to follow along with in your own time. Check that out. That is, again, starting on April 24th. The other promotion that I want to, the thing that I want to point you to right now, let me scroll over here. Okay, so nightlightastrology.com, go over to my website, click on the Live Talks tab under the events page there, and you'll see Uranus in Love on April 18th. That is coming up Thursday night. So on Thursday night, you can join for a talk on the significations of Uranus in love, sex, and relationships, the way that Uranus shows up in the natal chart when involved in the topics of love and relationships. What does Uranus have to say and what does Uranus teach us when it comes to the karma of love and relationships, either in your natal chart or by transit to your natal chart? If you have a Uranus transit to your seventh house, to Venus, other placements in the chart, it's a great talk for people who want to learn more about the significations of Uranus in depth and the way that affects romance and marriage and all sorts of things. It is Thursday night, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern time. It's $20 to register. If you will get the live link to attend the webinar from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern. If you can't make it, we send you the recording. You can also pick up the recorded talks of Neptune in Love and Pluto in Love, which we did over the last 2 months. Scroll up and you'll see May, June, and July's talks are posted now. I'm doing a talk on Neptune in Aries, which is the big shift that Neptune will be making in about a year from now. In June, I'm doing a talk on the 12th house, which I think you'll really like, a way of accessing some of the deepest healing that is available to us in our birth charts by looking at the 12th house in depth. And also Uranus and Gemini, the next major movement from Uranus, which also happens about a year out from now. I'll be looking at that in July. You can register for any of those in advance on the website. And of course, we send you the recordings if you can't make it live. Go to the courses page on the first year course, and you will also see that our next program, Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic, starts on June 16th. At the end of today's video, after I am done with content for the day, you can stick around to hear me talk in depth about the program. There is an early bird sale that is running until May 1st. We have changed the timeline of our early bird sale this year. Usually we would run it all the way up until the start of the course. This year, we're making it available only temporarily up until May 1st. So if you want to take advantage of that sale, check it out by May 1st. You can save significant amount off from the total tuition cost. We also have an early bird installment plan. If you'd prefer to spread the tuition out over a year, you can also use the early bird installment plan. That is also only available until May 1st, and then the prices go up. Tuition assistance is, of course, available at any time, all the way up until the start of the course in June. If you are someone who needs a little help to make the program happen, feel free to use that, apply for it. And there are a few different need-based tuition options, and you can choose your own. So anyhow, that is it for promotions today. And now we are going to dive into a little bit more on Jupiter Uranus, which is exciting. This is the big transit of the year in many ways, and it's upon us now. It's happening this week. I'm going to go ahead and put the real-time clock up. And the point of today is to look back at previous Jupiter Uranus conjunctions and oppositions, which are like the new and full moons of the Jupiter Uranus cycle, which happens about every 14 years or so. Jupiter taking about a year per sign and then catching the movement of Uranus takes about 14 years. So here we have their conjunction coming up. And we can see, let's put them together here. So there they are, Friday, April 19th, the same degree. And there they are, Saturday, the 20th at the same degree, the 21st at the same degree, and then starting to separate Monday, the 22nd. So it is this weekend that the two planets can join. Here's the problem. A lot of the time, when people hear about something like Jupiter Uranus and all of the astrologers are talking about it, you start thinking, oh, something terrific is going to happen on this date or right around this time. There's going to be, especially when you talk about Jupiter Uranus and everyone's talking about breakthroughs and revolution and rainbow colored lightning strikes that liberate pent up energy. And, you know, it's like it's a very benefic and exciting transit for the most part that has the revolutionary impetus behind it that for many of us will be experienced as expansive and optimistic and inspired. Jupiter Uranus tends to be associated with things that uplift and like help us feel like we're flying into new uncharted territory. There's a theme of like renaissance, awakening, rebirth. Whereas Pluto, you get the death and the rebirth. Jupiter Uranus is a bit more like the sudden fireworks of liberation. So you hear all of that and you think, well, there's going to be something really big happening on this day. And there can be. I mean, certainly you may see some really profound events that mirror all of this symbolism happening right around this time. And we've done horoscopes to show you where to look in your birth chart and so on. The one thing that I think we miss is that Jupiter-Uranus contacts, the conjunctions especially, are like seeding points. The new moon takes an entire 30 days to bear its fruit. Especially between the new and the full moon, the seed of the cycle is carrying out and the fruit's coming onto the tree around the full moon. It's being harvested between full moon and last quarter. The same thing works for all synodic cycles. When conjunctions of planets happen, there is a seeding moment that has a full life cycle ahead of it to bear its fruit. So you have to keep that in mind when you're considering the conjunctions of Jupiter and Uranus. This is a revolutionary seeding moment. And that moment can express itself in terms of sudden breakthroughs that happen right now, instantaneous, sure. But you, for the most part, you know, most of us, especially in a fixed Earth sign like Taurus or a solid Earth sign like Taurus, it's going to be developmental. It's going to be a process. And we're going to see the fruit coming onto the tree in a year from now, a year and a half from now, a couple of years from now. You may see it play out over the course of many years, in fact. And even sometimes there's intimate connections between the conjunction and a future opposition, which can take quite a while, so many years. Anyway, the point is that by looking backward in time at the previous oppositions and conjunction periods and tracking them biographically, you will see what I mean by things being process-oriented rather than related to singular events. Although it's always possible to find a couple of events that really match the Jupiter-Uranus symbolism at the same time. So I'm going to show you how I tracked these in my own life and share some stories to highlight the fact that these events are not, these moments are not singular, but process oriented in the hopes that it will help you tracking your own and you can use the same dates and times. All right. Are you ready? We're going to go back in time and let me put the chart up on the screen. And it's funny because like we'll be thinking in a few years, right now was the seeding point of some, you know, very intense and exciting revolutionary themes in our lives. What will they be? So we have the current conjunction right now, but let's go backward in time. The last time that Jupiter and Uranus got together was by opposition. Of course, that's what comes before the conjunction. So we go backward and we get the opposition here in 2000. This is December of 2016, where you see the two planets first coming together in Libra and Aries. So the two planets come into that exact opposition the very end of December. So I just put 2017 because as soon as they meet by opposition, it's the start of the new year, 2017. So the end of 2016, beginning of 2017. Then Jupiter comes through opposition via retrograde back into contact in February of 2017. And then we're going to see them come together one more time. And here their opposition is one more time by September of 2017. So this is their opposition, which is often, in some ways, the themes are exactly the same. You can draw out some distinctions between the conjunctions and the oppositions, but I wouldn't recommend it because you'll end up looking for nuances and missing the big picture. And so, I swear to God, there are some meaningful differences, but for the most part, just think of those themes of breakthrough, revolution, emancipation, maybe with a little bit more polarizing effect around oppositions, but generally speaking, this is a time of revolution. So think of 2017. So what was happening, I'm going to share with you guys what was happening for me back then. During 2017, I had started Jungian therapy, which was revolutionary in my life for a lot of reasons. I had also started hanging out in the Bhakti yoga community, and during this time ended up planting the seeds. I planned and committed during this period to a trip in 2018 to India, which would then lead subsequently to joining the Bhakti yoga tradition and then eventually leaving it. But that whole period of time constituted a major breakthrough in my life spiritually, psychologically. And I would say, even though I didn't end up staying in that spiritual or religious community, that community facilitated major transformation in my life. So Jupiter-Uranus opposing during that period was quite revolutionary for me in that respect. Jungian therapy and Bhakti yoga came into my life literally during the opposition. Okay, so play that game for yourself. What was happening during 2017? And can you see the themes of revolution that were happening? Again, maybe there's polarization involved. Maybe things are a little bit more tense during the opposition in general, but what kinds of revolutions were taking place in your life around that period of time? And notice how it wouldn't have been just what happened during that time, but what played out based on what was happening. So for me, major psychological, spiritual revolution that had a storyline that played out over the next couple of years. Really fascinating. So Jupiter, Uranus, let's go back in time now to 2010 and 11. All right, so we're going to go back in time. Here we go. So go back to 2010, and we can see the two planets coming in contact with one another. You can see them sort of like, here's April 2010, they're within 5 degrees. May, June of 2010, they conjoin, then they come back through their the retrograde, they conjoin again in September of 2010, right around there. And then through direct motion, they come together again late December, early January of 2010 into 11. So their final, meeting is really into the very beginning of 2011, but throughout 2010 and 2011. So again, apply the same exact procedure. Go back in time, look at your life during 2010 and 11. What were the breakthroughs? What were the expansions? What were the new opportunities and possibilities you were exploring? In what way were you awakening to something new? In what way were circumstances suddenly occurring that opened up new, avenues of self-expression or relationship or creativity? What's fascinating to me is that during this time, there were two major things that happened. This was a big one for me. During this time, I started off with leaving my job as a social worker, starting to collect unemployment after a yoga studio I started working for sort of fell through. My book about ayahuasca was published, and I launched Nightlight Astrology. Okay, so that was a significant period of revolution for me. But then at the end of it, I also met my wife and was participating in a yoga retreat that she led where I was teaching astrology. And that community that I taught in and met her through would become a huge part of my path going forward, as I would end up starting to date Ashley after I met her at the retreat that I was teaching at. We moved in together, started a yoga studio together, and that same community became Sky House Yoga, which was our studio for almost a decade. And of course, we ended up getting married and everything else. So, left my job, published a book, started my career as an astrologer, met my wife, established a new community with her. Huge. That Jupiter Uranus conjunction, of course, was happening in my 11th house, which is the place of friends, groups, allies. So an incredible revolution, probably the biggest in my personal biography. And they're all different depending on where what they're touching on in your birth chart, right? So for example, that Jupiter Uranus conjunction was happening in an exact square with my marriage house ruler. So, you know, it's like fantastic significations, you know? All right, let's go back. So trace that out for yourself. What was 2010 and 11 like? Not every single one of these periods you may notice as equally revolutionary. Again, a lot of it depends on the placements of your birth chart, but this was another Jupiter-Uranus period, this time a conjunction, the seeds of which would spread out over time. And a lot of the times during the conjunctions, it's people you're meeting, it's things that are getting started that don't necessarily show up for a while. Like I started my career, I met my first astrology teacher, I met my wife, but a lot of those things didn't really get traction for another year to 2 years in terms of what they would become. So, all right, let's go back again. Now we're going to go back to the previous opposition, which was happening between 2003 and 2004. Let's go back. So now we're going to see, here's Jupiter moving through Leo, coming closer toward, now here's where it gets spicy. So this is the very end of August 2003. Jupiter and Uranus oppose one another. August 2003, thereabouts. Then we're going to get Jupiter retrograding, and it comes back down to not an exact opposition, but within 2 degrees of an opposition by May of 2004. So you think about late 2003 all the way through spring of 2004. So what was happening in your life around this time? For me, again, I'll just share my story as prompting so you can see how it works. During that period of time, I was working as a youth minister at a Methodist church. And I had a great time doing it for a while, but I came into a space where I wanted to explore philosophically, spiritually, and was feeling like I wasn't sure that the youth minister path, I was thinking of becoming a preacher, it wasn't quite right for me. So I left my job and applied for and was accepted into graduate school for creative writing. During that same period of time, one of the things that prompted my need to explore and leaving of the youth ministry and propelled me into creative writing and so forth were also my very first experiences with psychedelics. Now, this was not ayahuasca yet, but within a year after that opposition, I would be, after my first year of graduate school, I'd be in the Amazon drinking ayahuasca. So the first experiences with ayahuasca, the leaving of the Methodist Church as a youth minister, subsequent acceptance into graduate school, first psychedelic experiences, all of which would propel me into the next stage of working with ayahuasca, which led to literally everything else. So again, it's not that everything happens right at that time of the opposition, but the opposition starts to create the conditions by means of which this big expansion and revolution starts to happen. So that was 2003 and 4 opposition. What was that like for you? And by the way, if you guys have good stories to share, drop them in the comment section. I really love hearing these kinds of stories. Use the hashtag grab. Maybe we'll throw it into a grabbed episode. Let's go back now to 1997. So as this goes backward in time and I get younger biographically, some of you might be older than me, and therefore it still is a little easier to track. But the younger you get, in some ways, the harder it becomes to notice things. And a lot of the times what you'll notice is the things are, they revolve around your family or your parents or something like that. All right, here's the next one. So we're looking at the two planets coming together in the very beginning of 1997. So in 97, the two planets are conjoined in Aquarius. And then we're going to see them dance together for a little while. They come back to being, you know, maybe what about 6-8 degrees apart by the end of 1997. So their conjunction really occurs at the beginning of 1997, but then it plays out for the rest of the rest of that period of time. Okay, so during that period of time, what was happening for you throughout 1997? What was the revolution? Now, let's go put the screen away here. So in my own life, this was happening in my 10th house, the place of, you know, eventual career. Now, I know that this is, you know, I'm getting young. I'm getting pretty young here at this point. I think I was just still like 16, 17 years old. But at that point, I tried smoking marijuana for the first time. And as a teenager, it had a profound effect on me. I was not someone who was smoking all the time. I was getting good grades. I didn't get in a ton of trouble. It was pretty private and secretive, honestly. And mostly I had a very positive experience with these things. But one of the things that came from the exploration with marijuana during that period was I started writing all of the time. So I became very inspired by that altered state of consciousness and began writing like sort of prolifically, like I just was filling journals. And it was a very fruitful period of time for me creatively, and in some ways a foreshadowing of a lot of things to come. I found that to be really interesting. The other thing that happened during this period of time was I became very clear, because I was a new kid in a new school and really had no friends and was dealing with some bullying. I decided during that period of time that I was for sure going to enroll in something called post-secondary enrollment option, which probably lots of you have a version of wherever you grew up, which is where you can leave high school and go to a community college and start getting dual credits for your bachelor's degree or your associate's degree and high school at the same time. So during that period of time, I became so disenchanted with my social experience, Jupiter and Uranus and Aquarius in my 10th house, right? That I said, you know what, screw this. I'm going to leave high school as soon as I can, which I couldn't do until 11th grade. And I was only, finishing ninth grade at the time. But I knew that I had about another year and another, so a full year forward from then, I was applying and accepted into the post-secondary enrollment option, which I decided during this period that I was going to do. I ended up leaving school, going to the community college. And because I had all my math and science credits done my junior and senior year, I studied almost exclusively through philosophy and psychology courses. So that, you know, that period of time, even though I was young, was the seeding point for a lot of the future development of my interests and professional life. Isn't that interesting? So go back to 1997. What was going on for you during that time? Look for the seeds of revolution. All right, let's go back even further. Now, this gets really tough for me during this period of time. It's like, it's much more difficult to track once I get below like 10 years old, you know? But, and I was born in 81. So let's go back in time, 1989. So here we have the opposition between Jupiter and Uranus. And we're going to see that, went too far. Here we go. So here they start coming together in August of 89, and they oppose one another. And then Jupiter's going to retrograde and come back through the opposition by late December of 89 into the very early part of 1990, and then goes forward again through the opposition to Uranus by May of 1990. So, yeah. So what is really interesting about this is a period of time in which my family moved. The only thing I could really locate during this period of time was the fact that my father is a minister. Ministers in the Methodist Church, United Methodist Church, are appointed to churches. They serve a term, then they'll often be relocated to another congregation, especially as a young minister grows in his ability, like he might get a larger church assignment as he grows as a minister and his leadership abilities and whatever. So my dad started off in a small town church in southern Minnesota, and then we moved to more like northern Minnesota in another church that was slightly bigger, which would become my hometown of Cambridge, Minnesota. That was a huge revolution in my life. because it moved me into the town that would really become the hometown of my life. Like it, even today, I still am like heartbroken that we ever had to move away from Cambridge, which is just this like very idyllic small town that I really did most of my growing up in. So that shift of my father's career would have many, like my entire book is really rooted in the transition that started occurring in my life and my family's life when we left that small town. We moved to that small town and my entire life shifted. Now I was like, you know, 89, I was like 8 to 9 years old, you know, so 89 to 90, 8 to 9, but that was a huge deal. So anyway, let's go back one more time to 1983. So what was going on in your life, by the way, in 89? Track it again. See what was happening. Okay, let's go back. Here we go. 1983. Here, they had a very long conjunction because Jupiter comes into Sagittarius and starts to conjoin with Uranus by the early part of 1983. The two planets get together in like February of 83. Jupiter retrogrades, comes back into the conjunction around May of 83. Jupiter stations, turns direct, goes forward, comes back into the conjunction around September of 83. Right. So it's most of 1983 that they were together. So what I found really fascinating about this is that this period of time coincided with my father finishing seminary. So during this period of time, my father finished seminary and he was then given his first appointment to that church in southern Minnesota, which was an even smaller town that I was in until I was about 8. So the previous two Jupiter-Uranus conjunctions, 89 and 83, for me as a kid, had to do with the big first big two big movements in my father's career that changed where we lived. So, you know, I couldn't say much more beyond that because I was so little. I don't have any memories of it really. But maybe you were born in the early 70s and you could remember that one a little bit better. But either way, I thought we'd just take it back to, you know, like go back 30, 40 years. And by tracking these, you can get a feeling for the fact that what happens, there are events that illustrate the themes of revolution. But more importantly, it's what comes forth from that revolutionary space. And that's something that's so easy to forget. And that's why this exercise is useful. So I hope that you get something out of this today. Stick around after I sign off. You can hear more about the upcoming program, Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic. Starts in June, and I would love for you to come and study. There are 30 classes on the year. We have breakout study sessions in between our major units of study led by our tutoring staff. There's a forum discussion where you can ask questions and get them answered always within 24 hours. There's tons of quizzes, bonus material, flashcards, extra reading and videos, as much as you want. If your intention is to become professional, this program definitely supports that. We have a nice certification exam at the end. It's optional. If your intention is to do this because it's your hobby and you want to get better at it and take this to the next level so it can be more of a tool for your own personal growth, there's nothing better than being competent in speaking and knowing the language of astrology in your own life and for the sake of your family and friends. It is an incredible tool in that respect as well. So hope to see some of you in class. Remember, the sale on all of the tuitions runs until May 1st, and there's need-based tuition as well. Stick around to hear more about it next. Take it easy, everyone. Bye. Hey everyone, thanks for sticking around. I'm going to tell you a little bit about our upcoming program, Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic, my year one course in ancient Hellenistic astrology that begins on June 16th. If you'd like to learn more about it, of course, you can always do some digging and looking at the course page on your own. I'll take you over there right now and walk you through it. But if you want to, you can go over yourself and look. Nightlightastrology.com is the website. Click on the courses tab and go to the first year course. This is the one that begins on June 16th, the perfect place to start for people who would like to learn more about natal astrology from the Hellenistic point of view. So this is a one-year course in Hellenistic astrology, which is the oldest form of astrology, and it is the form from which all subsequent forms of astrology come from. It shares a lot in its roots with ancient Indian astrology. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about what characterizes Hellenistic astrology, but just to familiarize you with this page. When you go to the first year course page and scroll down, you can learn more about everything that's included in the course. Some of the main features include 30 classes on the year, These classes are spread out through units of curriculum. And in between the major units of curriculum, we have breakout study sessions led by our tutoring staff. We also have an interactive group forum discussion that is staffed with tutors year-round. You always get your questions answered within 24 hours. So there's a lot of support built into the program as we work our way through the curriculum. We also have recommended reading, listening, optional quizzes, flashcards, bonus lectures, more than you could possibly read in a year, honestly. So we just have a large and long biography and sort of library of suggested bonus content that will fill in blanks and also supplement and deepen the material that we are studying. You get lifetime access to all the recordings. If you cannot attend the webinars live, they meet on the weekends, but if you can't attend them live, then you are welcome to follow along with the recordings, which are made available to you on the class website. So this class meets on Sundays from noon Central to 2 p.m. Central or 1 Eastern to 3 p.m. Eastern time. And you might translate that, I guess, if you're on the West Coast, it would be what, 10 a.m. to noon Pacific time. During the program, in addition to working our way through all of the major curriculum, the major foundational elements of Hellenistic astrology, we place a strong emphasis on preparing ourselves to read charts for other people. Whether this is a hobby for you or something that you are endeavoring to practice professionally, the course is built for people who are really there for a lot of different reasons. This is your hobby. This is your passion. You hope to do this for really no one other than yourself or maybe friends or family or someone who really decides they want to start a practice. You can take this class at whatever level of interest or depth that you want because of the amount of material that we make available to you inside and outside of class. You always have access to the program too, so you can always, you know, take it at your own pace. You can attend live, follow along with the recordings, some combination of both. And then the breakout study sessions are really helpful in addition to our interactive group forum discussion. You can always ask us questions. You can email me anytime with questions. So we have a lot of support in place. Now, the curriculum, we move through the foundational elements of ancient astrology. You may look at the curriculum and say, well, I know something about these things already, but not really, unless you've studied Hellenistic astrology, because the way that ancient astrologers talked about houses, signs, planets, aspects, essential dignities, chart delineation is radically different from what most people learn when they start studying modern astrology. The reason for that is that it's only been in the past couple of decades that we have finally had access to the vast majority of ancient texts on Hellenistic astrology. We were literally missing the bulk of our ancient tradition. So the kind of rebirth or reawakening of ancient astrology is really new, which makes this very exciting because everything you've learned in modern astrology is probably coming from the lens of what is called psychological astrology, which is a way of looking at the birth chart in terms of the planet signs, houses, and the way in which they may relate to your psychological makeup or profile. In this way, birth charts are a little bit like an elaborate Myers-Briggs. So you have the personality profiling, which is the way that most people look at planets, houses, and signs. You'll notice my Mars, my Venus, and they think of them as aspects or dimensions of your character and personality. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, we utilize much of the same language, and we certainly have that approach available to us in this program because ancient astrologers also looked at the chart in terms of psychological makeup. However, one of the main distinctions between modern astrology and ancient astrology is the emphasis that ancient astrologers placed on prediction. They looked at the chart in terms of a field of karma that defines the native or the individual's fate or destiny. And so we look at houses, signs, planets, aspects as a way of understanding what patterns, themes, and topics are going to be most prevalent and at what times, because they also had a very elaborate system of timing techniques. The year one program is all about learning to read the birth chart and understanding the ancient hermetic sort of Platonic Pythagorean philosophy that was behind the establishment of all of the doctrines and teachings of astrology itself. So it's really about understanding where everything comes from. It's the why behind everything that greatly empowers people when they're learning astrology. It is not nearly the same when you just study lists of adjectives and descriptions for houses, signs, planets, aspects. We want to understand why. Why do we do these things at all? Where did it all come from? And when you understand that, Then you have something like a skeleton key by means of which you can access your own creativity, your own intuition, rather than being told, just play these notes in this order and it will sound good. You're learning to improvise, which, you know, could anyone ever want to play? Why would you want to play an instrument if someone told you, well, here's how to play it. Play this, play this, play that. And you never learned how to play something of your own, or you never learned how to use the scales in ways that were magical and, you know, pertain to your own genie, your own genius. So when we study ancient astrology, one of the main things we're doing is we're taking people beyond anything that they think they've learned about houses, signs, planets, aspects, and we're teaching them where it all came from. And once you have that, then you're really cooking with fire. You have a magical, intuitive capacity that is very rare and precious in astrology. So anyway, we move through a lot of different elements, but not in the way that you've ever learned them before. And that's a really important distinction. So anyway, after all of that has been said, in each unit, we spend, maybe up to 10 hours on houses. And then we have a breakout study session, and then we have reading and bonus material. So when we talk about houses in this class, you are learning where the concept of a house ever came from in the first place, what it is, how it works, and how it's different from a sign. You're also going to unlearn and break a lot of bad habits, because not by any intentional ignorance, but modern astrology, being bereft of its ancient textual tradition, has been teaching a lot of things that are just not in line with where the actual theoretical foundations of astrology come from. So you're also going to break some bad habits, which is really good for people who maybe know a little bit about astrology already, but are seeking to clarify and understand theory in the context of the 2000 year history of astrology. So anyway, this class is going to prepare you to read birth charts for other people. But then by the end, one of the great things about the program is that the way we do that is not just by pumping you full of theory and history and philosophy. We are also, in the last portion of the program, inviting live clients into the class. And that's great, because when we have live clients come in, you're going to see me read from them using the theory and techniques that we've been studying. And you're going to see how they can be applied artfully, as well as, giving you some tools and methods and techniques to use to set you up for success. Seeing live astrology practice while studying it is the best way to learn. So the last portion of the program, we turn toward that hands-on approach. Anyway, so that's a bit about the program. If you have any questions you want to ask, email us info@nightlightastrology.com. We're happy to answer any questions you have whatsoever. I also want to point people to the payment options at the bottom. Early bird payment saves you $500 off. That is a great way to save. The payment plan is breaking the tuition into 12 monthly installments. If that works better for you, no worries, you can do that. And then need-based tuition. We, for many, many years now, dating back to 2010 when I started teaching astrology, I've always had some kind of sliding scale option available for people when studying astrology. Sacred science like this should be accessible to people of all different socioeconomic backgrounds. So we pride ourselves on making sure that there is tuition assistance available, so that if your budget doesn't match with the payment price that we ask for, and that's an honest assessment that we trust you to make, that you can take advantage of the tuition assistance and set your price within a sliding scale that we provide for your monthly tuition for 12 months through the program. So please feel free to apply for that if it makes sense to you. We don't want people hurting themselves or overextending themselves. A price that fits your budget is available through the need-based tuition. We just ask that you apply early, because we do fill up sometimes. So anyway, that is it. I hope that you will consider studying with us, and thanks for taking time to learn more about the program. See you later.